Bibles to Proverbs 31. Why don't you stand with me while I read a few verses and give you a chance to stretch your legs since we didn't stand to sing or anything. Proverbs 31 in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It's not good for kings, O Lemuel. It is not good for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. We go over to verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Lord, bless your word tonight. Help us to learn from it and grow. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Solomon, called King Lemuel in this passage, was taught by his mother, who was Bathsheba. David married Bathsheba. They lost a child that was born to Bathsheba out of adultery that David committed with her. But then she had Solomon, and David promised her that Solomon would be the king when he died, and she went to him when it was about that time and appealed to him that to fulfill his promise, and he did, that he appointed Solomon in his place. And she begins with a warning not to be deceived or voluntarily give the king strength unto women who might go astray, who might do wrong things, who might be morally corrupt. And she was exactly right, and Solomon didn't listen. Solomon married all these various women from foreign countries, and we know several of them were idol worshipers, and he even went so far as to build them a place to worship their idols. And so he displeased God in this tremendously. She warned him about alcohol, about drinking. Kings forget the law and pervert judgment who drink alcohol. She counseled him to judge righteously and to be concerned for the poor and to represent them well in government affairs. And then in verse number 10, it begins to give us a comparison between a virtuous woman and those women that Bathsheba warned him about who would lead him astray. The virtuous woman, unlike these, would corrupt the king, but the virtuous woman would help her husband tremendously. She's more value than riches. I would say it's not just virtuous women, but virtuous people. Virtue is something that can be applied to godly character, whether it's a male or a female. And godly character is of greater value than money. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. We know a strong marriage and children with Christian character is a tremendous blessing, and it's worth far more than just having a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with having a good bank account or having enough money to have your needs met, but as far as choosing one above the other, we should choose righteousness and a godly family ahead of riches. A husband and wife need to be able to trust one another. They have to be going in the same direction and being on the same page, having the same philosophy of how we're going to raise our children and how we're going to spend our time and how we're going to spend our money and how we're going to look to our future. And so families that are strong in church usually are able to raise their kids to continue to do that. And if they're consistent, then it comes back in a blessing rather than in a judgment. You can, our young men could go out and marry the shapeliest girl in their high school who's won the beauty contest. But if he can't trust her, he's going to have his heart broke. And it's more important that a husband and wife are able to trust each other and work together and know the Lord and avoid the problems of sin. There's been a long list of Hollywood marriages that we've all seen in the news medias, many of which people got married with the intention of a divorce in a short time so they could obtain great wealth from the person that they married. I remember that poor old heavyset stripper that was on TV for so long that married that old man about 85 years old, you know, and he ended up giving her a bunch of money, and his son tried to fight it in court and keep her from getting it and all that kind of thing. I mean, that was just a planned situation for her to obtain wealth, you know. It wasn't like the two of them were dating for a long time or anything of that nature. And there have been a lot of them that way. I heard one just the other day that it's the girl that was a celebrity. She won one of those singing contests, and she became a hit record person, and she's making a lot of money, and she's been on TV and several things, including commercials, and she got married to some guy, and then the marriage didn't last hardly any time, and now they're going through a divorce, and she's trying to sell the big multi-million-dollar house she bought because he's living in it without her, you know, and she's trying to sell it so she can pay him off and get rid of him from the divorce, you know. Well, I mean, there's so much of that kind of thing that goes on that it's just ridiculous. We should do each other good all the days of our life and not evil. Verse 12, virtuous woman, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We should not be together just for money and just for the excitement and what the person can provide, but we should be a contributor in the relationship. In this sin-cursed world we live in, the Bible calls it this present evil world. Galatians 1:4, Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. And in this present evil world, we need to know the Lord, we need the Bible, we need a good church, we need a strong devotional relationship with God just to avoid the sins of the flesh that are so available out there in the world today and the influence of so many people who don't know the Lord and who don't serve God. And to raise our children in this life today of the kind of world we live in, we can't become isolationists, but we've got to be separationists. We've got to separate from the sins of the flesh and of this world. We need to be able to keep pure and to avoid the traps and the temptations of the flesh that are all about us. Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Unless you have a job making $100,000 a year or more, it's probably going to be difficult for the wife to stay home. More likely, both are going to end up having to work. God intends for a woman to have a role as a keeper of the home. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, in verse 4 and 5, let me read from verse 1 in chapter 2 of Titus. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then he begins to deal with young men likewise. So Titus was placed as a pastor in churches to ordain elders in these churches in Crete and to teach these things to the people on how to live morally and ethically in their Christian lives. This does not forbid a woman from working outside the home. And when you have small children, it's always best if the wife can stay home as long as possible with small children and get them raised. And if you do have to go out and work, if you got grandparents that can help you with the kids, that's much better than a daycare where the people don't know you or raising your children. After the kids get up into school age, then it may be a possibility that you can find a job through the school system, and you'd be at school the same hours the kids are and off the same hours they are, or try to find a job that has a similar hourly time schedule so that you're home with your children. My wife and I survived at home on a small income. We kept our cost of living down, and she was able to stay home until our kids started going to school. And then my wife began to teach kindergarten in Christian school. Christian school didn't pay a lot of money, and kindergarten didn't require a degree, and she didn't have one, so she was able to do it, but it didn't pay much. My wife was a very good teacher. She was the most sought-after teacher at the school every year. People who brought their kids to Trinity Christian School asked for my wife to be the one to teach them. And she taught a K-4, then she taught K-5, then she taught advanced K-5. Most of the kids that went through her K-5 class stayed in the Christian school. The retention rate for her class was way above the other classes. And so she did a good job. But yet she was able to spend time with our kids. She could drive them to school. They were at school she was at. And so that was a big help. Mothers have to work. Then they have to spend extra time with their kids, the husband and wife both, to make sure their kids, what they're being taught, that you go over that with them, that you keep involved in their lives. And that takes a lot of time. Now, most women, if you do go outside the home to work, then if you got kids, you're going to pay for daycare. You're going to have to buy a second car. You're going to have to buy additional clothes to wear to work. And so it's a big expense. So by the time you boil it all down to the end of the week, you're not making a whole lot of money left over unless you've got some kind of really high-paying job after you furnish all those things. And verse 13 through 19 of Proverbs 31, Scripture says that, verse 14, she's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from far. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength. She strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now, she rises early in the morning and makes food for her family. And this passage reminds me of the old saying, when I was a kid, we used to hear this a lot, that men work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And women work hard in raising a family, and they work double hard if they have to work a secular job also. But husband and wife both have to work hard to provide for the home. They make sure their family's cared for. I don't know any parents that spend more on themselves than they do on their kids. They make sure their kids have what they need. They provide for their kids. They buy things for their kids to entertain them and all like that. And they sacrifice things for themselves in order that their kids will have many things. Too many homes today are strictly fast food and seekers of pleasure more than seekers of God. It's Christian homes that I believe really have the right to bring up children and raise children and invest their life in them. Verse 16, this woman is wise in her spending and saving. Her hard work ethic doesn't waste money on frills. She invests and saves. She buys a piece of property and plants it to obtain a profit from it. My wife got out, we planted a couple. I had a hard time with green beans this year. We had the best garden we've ever had, but I had a hard time with green beans. I planted them three times. The last time I planted two 75-foot rows, and I think every bean came up. But they were those runner-type green beans. They're much harder to pick because you got to pull the plants all over out of the way to find the beans and all. Well, my wife got out there yesterday and picked again a 5-gallon bucket full, and she canned 9 pints of green beans yesterday, and she's put up enough green beans and crowder peas and tomatoes this year that we won't need any of that purchased through the winter. It will supply all the side items we need in our meals and plenty of soup mixes to make homemade soup through the winter with the tomatoes. And I appreciate the hard work that it takes. It took a lot of hard work for me too in the plowing and the planting and a little bit of the picking. And we always sit around at night together and do the breaking the beans and shelling the peas and all that sort of thing. And I knew a lady who ran a daycare center for years, and later she stayed at home and she babysat her grandchildren. She had several grandchildren that the two mothers were school teachers. And she babysat their kids while they worked. And she also had another kid that she babysat whose mother was a lawyer and father was a judge. And those people wanted this lady, whatever she was fixing for supper for her and her husband, she'd fix two extra plates to feed the lawyer and the judge. And so it didn't matter if it's hot dogs, didn't matter what it was. Whatever y'all are eating, we'll eat. And so they paid her very well for keeping their child and for fixing them their supper meal every night. So when they came home from work, pick up the kid, they picked up their supper with it, you know. And this provided income for her. On top of that, she made cakes and pies. And boy, she was good at it too, you know. She could make a pecan pie like nobody's business. And she could make a great cake and sell those things. And it provided an income. And she was able to stay at home. How she babysitted 4 or 5 kids and did that baking and cooking and all that, I don't know, but she did. And she was able to make some additional money. When Joy was young, I bought her a Sears and Roebuck sewing machine, you know. And she was able to sew. She went out to Tech, took a class. And she made all the kids' clothes, the dresses for our daughters and pants for our boys. And she made me a shirt one time. It was a long sleeve denim shirt, and it had roses on it, flowered. It was a fancy shirt for a redneck, you know. And I appreciated her doing that very much. But we don't waste money on clothes. We don't buy the latest fashions. I wear shoes until they're worn completely out. I don't know. I mean, I've been wearing the same pants and shirts and coats for years and years and years and years. I did just buy two new pair of tennis shoes. This pair I got on right here, those are tennis shoes. Those are New Balance tennis shoes, black. But my diabetic shoes that are black are bigger than these in the size around. They're not any bigger as far as their 12s. But they made me clumsy because they were so much wider. I'd bump stuff, trip on stuff, all that sort of thing. And when they got worn out, I said, I'm going to buy a pair of black tennis shoes to wear instead of those diabetic shoes. They look just as good or better than the diabetic shoes do. And they feel good. And so, hey, they were $55. Now they're on sale for $45. And the diabetic shoes were about $200. So there you go. That's a savings right there. I'm not bragging on me not wasting money. I'm just saying you can get by on a lot less than you think you have to spend. And if you learn to be content with what you have, you can get by on a lot less. And God can bless you. You remember Israel in the wilderness. The Bible says they went all those 40 years in the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't fade. And God supplied for their needs and took care of them. And we've driven automobiles for years and years and years. And I mean, if the tires get bad, you got to replace them. That's a safety feature you got to do. But by God blessing you, quite often, you know, you don't have to do stuff like that near as often if you're faithful to give to God and faithful to use your money wisely. I've never bought expensive things. I know y'all don't believe this. Of course, you can tell by looking at me, I don't wear fancy clothes. I've never had a suit that cost $200. I'm 70 years old, and I've never bought a $200 suit. I usually buy sport coats at Hamrick's for $79, and they last for years and years and years. I learned a long time ago, when I get through preaching, I probably sweat in my suit pretty bad. I'll take my coat off and hang it up. And it'll last a whole lot longer than if you go ahead and wear it all day long, you know. There's little ways you can do things and keep from spending as much money. Even with a lower income we had in the early years, we've always given about 15% of our income to the church. And then we try to help others when they have needs and keep our cost of living down is what's allowed us not only to do that, but also to save a little bit for the future when we're going to need it most. Hard work allows the virtuous person to be able to help the poor and the needy without taking away from their own family. But I can promise you this, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 would not give money to a televangelist and not give money to con artists and not give money to deadbeats who won't work. And when people are sick and in need, then we should try to help them. But this world today, charities and that sort of thing, they're far better off to sell items at a reduced cost than they are to give items away. Because if you get the word out that there's places you can go get stuff for free, the same people go there continuously all the time and get all the stuff, and then the people who really need it can't get it. And those that get it, then they can use their money in any way they want to instead of spending it for those things that they're getting. David wrote this in the Bible. I was young, and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I promise you, when you see these people on the street corner with these signs, and they're there every time you go by there for months and months and months, they're not God's seed out there begging for money. They're people that are out there as con artists or drug addicts or running from the police. There's plenty of places desperately needing to hire somebody who will work, but it's not those folks on the side of the road begging. People who live righteous, God will supply their needs, and he'll move the heart of the godly to be a help to them if there's a temporary need that people run into. Most charities can, Goodwill and places like that, people donate to them, they clean the items up, they sell them at a far reduced price. And if somebody needs something, they can go there and get a cheap pair of pants or work clothes or a jacket or things of that nature, and for far less than it costs for new stuff in a store somewhere, sometimes quality items. People who spend all their money on alcohol and drugs and waste are often looking for some handout or something free that they can get from somebody else. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter 6. There's some people spend a lot of time every week on the telephone calling churches, looking for money, looking for somebody to pay their power bill, looking for somebody to give them money for groceries, looking for churches that've got a food closet and things like that. And they do that on a continuous basis. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This doesn't mean you shouldn't have a savings account or save something in retirement or things like that. It means that you should not build wealth on earth without building wealth in heaven. One day you're going to live for eternity, and if you know the Lord is your Savior, then you want the blessings of God upon your faithfulness that you've given throughout your lifetime. Verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I'd like you to send that to every humane society begging for money on television to feed them poor little sick dogs they show the pictures of. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Where if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it reminds us to, back in chapter 6 and verse 8, before he began the Lord's Prayer, he said, be not ye therefore like unto the Gentiles, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So God knows what we need before we ask, and yet we are to ask, we're to pray. And that's what the word pray means, to ask. We pray to our Heavenly Father who knows what we have need of. But we're cautioned not to love money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. And Paul wrote to Timothy and told him to say to the churches to be careful about the love of money. Caution of the eye and the want and the desire. We serve God, not material things. We're going to leave all these things behind one day when we go to heaven to be with the Lord. So storing up all these things that are temporary should not compare with the eternal things we have with God. We don't have to worry over the future. We look to God for protection and for provision. If we put Him first, and we give to God and serve God, then He'll supply our needs, and we'll have food and clothing and shelter. And we won't have to worry about what's going to happen later on. This woman, virtuous woman, and a virtuous man have gained the wisdom of God, back in Proverbs 31, verse 26 and 27. And through the fruit of the Spirit, we live the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And that requires that we crucify the flesh. That requires that we pray and ask God to help us overcome our desires. And we yield our desires to God's will to be done. And we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. This woman lives what she preaches in verse 27. She's been faithful. Her children can attest to the fact that she's been consistent with her life. Her family will praise her and be thankful for her. And her daughters will simply hope to be like her and to achieve what she has achieved. She'll be praised for a life of godliness and rewarded by the works of her hands. If we're found faithful before God, we'll be rewarded as well. Virtuous people, men and women. It's important. I tell people all the time, nothing better than a good husband, nothing worse than a bad one. Nothing better than a good wife, nothing worse than a bad one. It's important that we live for God and serve God, and we can raise godly children and have a good home. And that's worth more than great riches. There's people that have great riches that would give them all to have what some of you have in godly children and a godly home and a godly marriage. Thank God for what you have. Let's be found faithful. Father, bless your people tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness in coming. We ask for your help, your provision and protection, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here.